And dwarfs search out tall towers to bring down to feel tall. And I believe that's because someone came along and explained to them the difference. They said, the reason that 2.0 and 1.0 and 0.0 are doing better than you are has nothing to do with anything you did. It's because they did something to us. They stole something from us. Or it's because our own leaders introduced a virus into our operating system, and they have to be purged. That was the role bin Laden and Zawahiri and the ideologues played. Now, I would argue there is another explanation. And the other explanation is that God 2.0 isn't really God 2.0 anymore. It's actually God 2.0.1. It's a Christianity that's gone through the Reformation, the Enlightenment, embraced modernity, and separated church from state. Same for God 1.0 and God 0.0. Until and unless that same embrace of modernization is gone through by the Arab Muslim world, this dissonance is going to be there. And that really, to me, is the meta issue that we're facing. Well, that then comes to the issue of the Iraq War. You're, again, entitled to ask, well, what does any of this have to do with the Iraq War? You've given this analysis, okay, maybe I buy it, maybe I don't, but what does it have to do with Iraq? Well, at one level, it has nothing to do with Iraq. My own sort of history on this issue is that I was not part of the neocon cabal that was demanding an invasion of Iraq for the last 10 years. I came to this issue very simply from one perspective. It was clear to me pretty early on that these guys were going to fight this war, whether I wrote 10 columns against it or 100 columns against it, or 10 columns for it or 100 columns for it. They came into office, it's pretty clear, dedicated to fight this war. From a columnist's point of view, I had two choices. One was to throw my body in the way of it. I could have done that, and maybe I should have. The other was to basically adopt the view, these guys are clearly going to do this. Well, if you're going to do it, at least fight the right war for the right reasons in the right way. That was how I chose to use my column. What was the right war? Well, what I argued before the war was that we should march into Iraq, if you're going to do this, not about WMD. We should declare that this war is being fought in the name of the Arab Human Development Report, that we are going to Iraq for one purpose, to partner with the Iraqi people to implement in one country, in the heart of the Arab world, the Arab Human Development Report. Now let's step back for a second and forget whether that is practical or not. What is it that I was trying to get at by saying that? Why could this war have been, and maybe still be, something that produces a positive outcome in terms of this larger issue we face of a part of the world that's facing a human development disaster? Here, I have to take you to the issue of context. I'm a big believer, you know, since 9/11, so many people have come up to me and said, wow, Islam, that's a really angry religion. I say, I totally disagree. But what I do agree with is that there are a lot of Muslims who are angry. And there's a very simple reason for that in my view. It's because as a faith community, they live in the most repressive societies, under the most repressive governments on this planet. The governments that are least friendly and respectful of women, the governments that are least tolerant of human and civil rights, and the governments that are doing the least to empower their young people to achieve their full potential. That, in my view, is why people are so angry. What is religion? It's just a mirror on your daily life. Context really matters. And the problem with the Middle East today is that for 50 years, we have ignored the context of how people live their lives in that region. See, we treated the Arab world for 50 years as if it was a collection of gas stations. That was all. One big collection of gas stations, and all we cared about were two things. We just cared that the pump was open and that the price was low. And in recent years, that you be nice to Israel. Just keep the pump open, keep the price low, and be nice to the Jews. And you can do whatever you want out back. You can treat your women however you want. You can preach whatever you want in your mosque. You can write whatever you want about us in your newspapers. You can do whatever you want out back. Just keep the pump open, the price low, and be nice to the Yehudis. Well, on September 11th, ladies and gentlemen, we got hit with everything that was going on out back. We got hit with the product of the context that we had ignored. Context is everything. And here, the best example I can give to you is the second largest Muslim country in the world. I won't do my usual contest here of asking you which is the second largest Muslim country in the world, but it's not Indonesia, not Saudi Arabia, not Iran, not Pakistan. The second largest Muslim country in the world is a country called India. It has more Muslims than Pakistan, in fact. Well, here's an interesting data point from 9/11. There are no Indian Muslims in Al-Qaeda that we know of. And there are no Indian Muslims in Guantanamo Bay. Well, how could that be? It's the second largest Muslim country in the world. Could it be? Could it be because the richest man in India today is a Muslim software entrepreneur named Azim Premji, the chairman of Wipro? Could it be because the president of India today is a Muslim? Could it be because when I was in India, after we invaded Afghanistan and there was a debate on Indian national TV between the country's leading female movie star, who happens to be an Indian Muslim woman, and the country's leading Muslim cleric? And he called on Indian Muslims to rise and join the jihad in Afghanistan against the American forces. And the Indian woman movie star live on Indian national TV told him to shove it because she lived in a context that empowered and protected her to do so. Context really matters. Give young people a context where if they have an entrepreneurial idea, they can start a company and become the richest man in India or woman. Give them a context where if they want to run for office or start a newspaper, they can do it. Give them a context where there's enough rule of law that if they have a dispute with someone, they can get a fair ruling without bribing the judge with a goat. Give them a different context, and guess what? They don't want to blow up the world. They want to be part of it. This really isn't that complicated. Larry Summers, our former Treasury Secretary, has a saying that's really my 11th commandment. My 11th commandment in the history of the world, says Larry. In the history of the world, no one has ever washed a rented car. My 11th commandment. In the history of the world, no one has ever washed a rented car. Well, it may be true, it may be not true. After every lecture, somebody comes up and says, I washed a rented car. But I'll tell you what is true. In the history of the world, no one has ever washed a rented country. Oh, no, never. And I'll tell you something. 280 million Arabs have been renting their countries for 100 years, first from colonial powers, then from kings and dictators. And until they own them, they're never going to wash them. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was my reason for supporting this war 52 to 49. Oh, I have no idea whether this is going to work out. And this Bush administration screwed this up Seven ways to Sunday. But believing that something positive and something important is at stake in trying to partner with Iraqis to find a way for them to own their own country and take responsibility for shaping the context and to stop externalizing blame for all their problems to the rest of the world. I regret a lot of things about this war, but I do not regret that.